Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Apart, it's blessed, it's Kodesh. Hallelujah. Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and may thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, spirit of belief. Lead us not into any temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. And Father, we love you, we magnify you, and we thank you for this. Shema. Shema Israel. Shema.
Hero is the Lord our God, the Lord is.
Israelite believer of Yeshua HaMashiach. And we would greet each other in that manner to know that law keepers recognize law keepers. Shabbat Shalom, brothers and sisters, to the Mishpachah. I am Be the Preacher, honored to be here with you on Blueprint for Life, a show that's been going on for 12 years, also known as the Israelite Way of Life back in the day. And maybe we're doing right way of life. We had a pretty large classroom. I bet you all of those people are now teaching, preaching, have camps and ministries and churches, all praises to the Most High. But at least some like 8,000 people a month. That was a blessing back in, 10, 12 years ago. But nonetheless, we're here now, and it's a blessing to continue. Blueprint for Life and Israelite Way of Life was designed to help you understand the importance of the statutes, laws, and commandments that were never done away with. They are, in essence, a blueprint for how to conduct your life and be able to restore the moral fiber of our community that's been lost and taken away because we have no scruples. We have no barrier. We have no fence. The law is not something you go under. You're absolutely right. Go in the archives and listen to my lesson. We're no longer under the law. We are protected by the law. It's a fence all around us. It's a blueprint for our life. It's something to come back to and relate to. Albeit we have grace, we no longer have to sacrifice animals for our sins. And we don't have priests because we are all now under the priest order of Melchizedek, and we can boldly approach the throne. No longer under the priesthood of Aaron and his sons and the Aaronic blessings. We can boldly approach the throne. The veil of the temple has been ripped. And also, Christ was our one eternal sacrifice. Things that you would do that were sins as far as breaking the laws, you no longer are killed or stoned for. You got grace as long as you get up and try it again. Don't stay down there in the dirt. Don't make it a lifestyle, our habitat, our habit, our routine. Change your life. Get back into the blueprint for life, which is the statutes, laws, and commandments, Psalms 19 and 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul of a man. There can be no conversion without the law, which is the schoolmaster. When the apostles wrote in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all scripture is given by inspiration of Yah and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, so that the man of God might be thoroughly furnished, they weren't talking about the epistles, the letters they were writing to each other. They weren't talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That had not even been written. That was just a chronicling of a little bit of Yeshua's life. They were talking about the Torah and the Tanakh, which was the only book they would go to the synagogue on the Sabbath to hear read, was the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, and the Tanakh, the book of the prophets. These are the scriptures of the foundation of the people that they learned and they echoed in their sentiment and in their letters and while in prison and preaching Christ. This is what had to be present. This is what had to be present. You had to have a foundation. Peter made it clear in 2 Peter 3 and 16, if you don't have the foundation, you won't even understand what Paul's talking about. You won't understand where he's coming from. You won't be stirred and you won't be confused and become unstable. So remember that, brothers and sisters. So we're going to get into today the reading of the law and our lesson today, who you following? And then slash as a subtitle, what did I say? Meaning the great I am. The question he's asking is, what did I say? He speaks once and he spoke it. It's written in the word. What did I say? We're the ones who alter. We're the ones who are unstable. We're the ones that go back and forth, but we're going to deal with that today. So let's just be prepared. Take a brief break and come right back.
Royalty. Royalty. Powers of the chosen people. Bible in my hand, word inside my heart, and pain before my eyes. Broken people wanting to believe in something, looking for a light, trying to find the truth. But we give them doubt, saying we do something we don't. Hurting people, saying we do things that we won't. Whooping sheep's clothing with a cross on his chest. They gave people money, promising to be blessed. Power to the chosen people.
Who had one... All right, Babylon, hallelujah. Welcome back to Blueprint for Life. I'm your host, Peter the Preacher. And that was royalty. We are a royal generation, chosen, but we're a royal priesthood and a chosen generation, according to 2 Peter. We are so blessed to be able to have such a day as the Sabbath and Shabbat. And we're going to get into the reading of the law today, which will be in and around that blessing and the ability to enjoy the blessings of this day. Before we get into that, I think we have Brother D on the phone. The box law.
President of College Board, how are you doing, Brother D? Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom, brother. Well, it's an honor for you to stop by today.
No, I was like I said, I was waiting until about 10 o'clock, and I was gonna, you know, come on, and you know, check it to make sure you were there. But yeah, I'm here today, ready to contribute in any way you need.
Yeah, we've been on for the last 12 minutes, but it's a blessing to have you on today, brother. Better late than never. Just sharing with the people about the essence of this platform and this particular show. And, you know, every time I mention the word blueprint for life, I kind of get excited because I realize that we are no longer under the law. We are protected and covered by the law, and it's a blueprint for how we should live our lives.
That's true. That is true. So, hallelujah.
All right. So for the law today, brothers and sisters, the reading of the law today, we're going to come out of the book of Ezekiel, and we're going to go to the 20th chapter. And we're going to read Ezekiel 20 and 12, and Ezekiel 20 and 20.
Ezekiel 20 and 12?
Yes.
Okay, are we ready? Or?
I'm ready. Go ahead.
Okay. Okay, verse 12, Ezekiel 20 and 12. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Most High that sanctify them.
Yes, the house of Israel. Let's stop right there and let's elaborate on that. Today is not just a mandate and a commandment given to us based on a ton of scriptures, but this was the first high holy day after creation. And this is what people tend to get. After he made man and woman, The seventh day he created and he blessed it. And you will not find anywhere else in this book where he unblessed it or changed the day. That was done by man, the Catholic Church in the 1800s, saying they're taking their divine order because a vicar of Christ means that the Pope thinks he's the replacement of Christ and that they have a right to change the Most High's holy days. But there's judgment coming for the people that have done that. Friday sundown till Saturday sundown is the time when our Savior arose, because when the women got there, Mary and Martha, after the Shabbat, he was gone. He was already gone because they would not go until the Shabbat was over, the Sabbath. This day is blessed. Preparation day is the day of double blessings so that you can be maintained on the day of blessing. So what Brother D just got through reading, I don't think people understand how deep that is when he says, this is a sign. It's not only a sign to reassure you, you on the right track, but it's for those who aren't on the right track to see that somebody's still doing this, although people are running around saying, it can't be done. Nobody can keep the commandments. Who stays on the low on Saturday? Everybody get out and do something. So, but he said, but this was to be a sign between me and them. So it's only between him and us, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctified them. The word sanctify is kodesh. I'm the one that sets you apart. The act of being different from everybody else and not hitting the club Friday night and not going shopping on Saturday, shopping and just spending money with merchants, that not doing that and pulling away from that is helping you to walk in a kodesh sanctified lifestyle, because you look different. You look different doing that. You look weird. You look strange. What's wrong with you? Anything you want to add, Brother D? Okay. I don't know if he's still there. All right. I lost him. He'll be right back. Let me read this. Ezekiel 20 and 20. And hallow my Sabbaths. That means make it set apart. Make it different. We're going to go into atonement, Leviticus 23 after this, so you can hear about another Sabbath. Okay, Brother D, you're back.
Yeah, I'm sorry that I dropped out there for a second. And just to elaborate on what you said, you mentioned that the Romans changed this, and which they had no authority to do that. I said, hey, how are you going to go in and change and take what the Most High has said in front of
you? Turn your volume
said,
up.
No, we're not going to do it this way.
Turn your volume up, Brother D.
I'm sorry. Is that better?
Oh, a little bit more.
I know what happened. Hold on a second. I dropped out. I had you on speaker now. I'm sure that's better.
That's much better.
Okay, yeah. And like you said, the Romans changed this, in which they had no authority. But how are you going to take something that the Most High sets for you and makes a mandate and decide, okay, no, we're not going to do it on this way, do it on that way, on that day? They had no authority to do that.
No authority whatsoever. Who made you God all of a sudden when you changed his holy days spoken of in Leviticus 23 and this first one in the book of Genesis and Jubilees? Who told you you could go back and change? He said if you add or take anything away, you're in danger of hell fire.
And the people that have changed it, I'm sure they know that. They're just dragging along a few unsuspecting people who are following along with them. Not realizing that, you know, they're dragging him into a lake of fire with them.
And literally, people, well, we got grace. They're not taking me to hell because I'm following them. No, that's why the title of the lesson today is who you following. Who you following? What voice are you listening to? That's what I'm going to get into in this lesson. So many people today think they're hearing from God, and it's Satan whispering in their ear. He has that ability, people. Or it's Satan coming through your friend or your mama or your daddy or your child, hearing the voice of Satan, you thinking it's God. Talking about it's a confirmation because you did something stupid and spoke something, articulated something out in the air. The demons heard it, and Satan sends a false sign to make you think it's a confirmation, sends you false confirmation and leads you off on the wrong way. But I'm going to get into that lesson a little bit later. You're absolutely right about the Catholic Church. And so, yes, you can go to hell following the wrong person.
And who are we following? Okay, verse 13. But the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They walked not in my statutes, and they despised my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. And my Sabbaths they greatly polluted. Then I said, I would pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. And these people had just come from seeing all the miracles that the Most High had wrought. And, you know, they're rebelling against him already.
And he said, because they wouldn't keep Sabbaths, he really got them out in the wilderness. People, when he comes to rescue us and take us to the wilderness, you that do not keep it, have no respect for it, are standing in front of him saying we don't have to do that no more, you're going to be in trouble. How do you look standing in front of our Savior, Yeshua, the holy angels, and the Most High Yah talking about, well, my understanding is we don't have to do that no more. That's not going to fly, brothers and sisters. He's not about to come say, you're right. I erased all that out. That's a lie from the pit of hell.
And let me read that last line again. I would pour out my fury upon them in the wilderness to consume them. And today, and that's the same thing that's happening today, that's going to happen to you today. The Most High will pour out his fury upon you.
Absolutely. He will pour out his fury. This may be a shadow of things to come, but in doing it, you begin to reap the blessings of Deuteronomy 28. It's just like the thing of sowing and reaping. You've got to do these things to show him you love him. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So it's an act of love and commitment and dedication. And Isaiah, the 58th chapter, goes deeper into the Sabbath, into fasting, and into giving and blessing the poor. So these three things incorporated, you'll find in Isaiah 58, which starts off with, lift up your voice like a trump in Zion and show my people their transgressions. And one of them is not realizing this is a sign. So do it to the best of your ability. The grace is for that. As you perfect it, you got grace until you get better at this. That's what the grace is for. Not to just say, forget the whole thing. No, let your family and everybody know that you know today is the Sabbath. Don't stray away from that. Sunday's the first day of the week. That's the day in the book of Acts where they got together and went to house breaking bread, spreading the word, and collecting money to take care of each other, because we don't collect money on the Sabbath. So, I mean, you know, you want to go somewhere and be a part of collecting money and blessing the poor on Sunday and being a part of that, wherever you do that, that's fine. But this day is set apart and blessed and hallowed Friday night till Saturday night, sundown.
Yeah, that's right. No, you pretty much said it all.
Okay, let's get Exodus 31 and 13, because it says the same thing, but it speaks a little bit differently.
Okay, Exodus 31, verse 13. Okay, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying,
all you listening right now, go ahead.
Verily, my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout throughout your generations. In other words, forever.
Forever. All of the generations, including right now, when you identify who you are. I guess the ones of y'all that still think you African Americans ain't doing it. But when you wake up and find out that you, by culture, are a Hebrew Israelite by blood, but you're a follower of Yeshua by faith, which saves you because he's coming to redeem you and you follow him. But when you find out of your culture, these are the expectations of you within your culture to keep his Sabbaths. What are his Sabbaths? His holy days. Where can I find it? Find those. Leviticus 23. I know your pastor don't preach this. He don't even bring out the holy days. He's getting you ready for 4th of July, Christmas, and Thanksgiving. That's all he's doing.
We
know about the Sabbaths and the holy days out of Leviticus 23. He said, verily my Sabbaths, not singular, it was plural, ye shall keep them. For this is a sign between me and you. This is us letting each other know, I'm down with you. I got you. I got you. I'm with you. And he like, I see you. I see you. I see you doing that. You're doing that because you love me. I got you. You down with me. You obeying. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And then he said, forever, like Brother D said, that you may know that I'm the one that separates you. So you know by keeping, he's separating you and he's making you different and he's making you Kodesh. It's an act that brings a blessing of sanctification. And that's what I wanted you to see. And it's forever throughout the generation. So we got to do this. We have a mandate on our lives to have to fulfill these obligations and do these holy days and keep these commandments. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know that the Most High does want obedience, because he even told them that he had gotten sick of their sacrifices, their oblation and all that. He wanted obedience. And he just got sick of it. He didn't want to see it because it wasn't done in a way that with sincerity. It wasn't done with sincerity.
Absolutely. And what I really wanted people to understand is that that sign is one of the signs that the Most High is going to be looking for, is the obedience that we have. This is the sign between us. This is like gangs making hand signs to identify each other. And with the colors, what makes you set apart is that you keep the holy days, that you keep the Sabbath. When he comes back, you'll be the one that's protected when the storm, the tribulations and the trials hit. The ones that have a sign, the angels will see and pass over. You'll make it into the wilderness because you got a sign on you. You got the secret handshake between us and the Most High. You in, because you know this, and you teach others this. And we get ready to go to Leviticus 23. Go ahead, Brother D. What were you about to say?
Okay. Yeah. And this, just like you said, this is a sign between us and the Most High. And this word was given to us. It was given to his chosen. And so, yeah, I mean, we are supposed to be obeying him and following these commandments, because this word was given to us.
Absolutely. Let's get Leviticus 23. We'll read the first. Let's read the first three verses and elaborate on that. And then we're going to skip down to the Day of Atonement, which is taking place next week.
Okay, Leviticus 23. And the Most High spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them concerning the feast of the Most High.
Well, let's pause right there for a second. Hold on. I need to pause for the people to see the scripture. The first verse he read is, and the Lord, which is and the Most High, and Yah, and whom you call God, and Yah spoke to Moses. He spoke, and he said, tell all my people that these are my days. These are my holy days, my feasts. I never said the fourth, labor, memorial, Christmas. These are my feasts right here. This ain't never going to change. Go ahead, Brother D.
Okay. Let's see where I leave off. Concerning the feast of the Most High, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest. And holy convocation, ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Most High in all your dwellings.
Hey, Brother D. Do you see the prophecy of those last three words?
In all your dwellings. That's everything, even here in captivity.
Thank you. That is referencing our final captivity, all our captivities. He knew, and nobody catches that. He knew, and he prophesied. He said, in all your dwellings, he already knew we was getting ready to go into multiple captivities, Babylonian, Medo-Persia, Roman. He saw it all. So he said, in all your dwellings, I'm going to expect you to continue to do these. You can't take nothing away from that. Are you still there, brother?
I'm still here. We're jumping down to which verse? What verse are we jumping down to?
We're jumping down to, since we're going to atonement, we're going into the holy day, the sacrifice of atonement in this chapter. All your dwellings is something that he says throughout your generations. It's a recurring theme in Leviticus 23. I want the people to know. It's a recurring theme because he already knew that y'all going to end up being in captivity for a long time. So we just had the blowing of trumpets that passed last week. So read verse 26 on down.
Verse 26. And the Most High spake unto Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of this 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. There shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and ye shall afflict your soul, and offer an offering made by fire unto the Most High. 28. And ye shall do no work in that same day, for it is as a day of atonement, to make an atonement for you before the Most High your God. For whatsoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted in that same day, ye shall be cut off from among his people. That's tough there.
Yeah.
That's tough. 30. And whatsoever soul it be that doesn't doeth any work in that same day, the same soul will I destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generation and all your dwellings. There's that forever.
Hallelujah.
Again, throughout your generations.
Hallelujah.
It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest. You shall afflict your soul in the ninth day of the month at evening. From evening until evening shall ye celebrate your Sabbath.
This is a holy day of no eating and celebrating. Go ahead. You want to elaborate on that? Go ahead.
No. Like I said, that same thing where it says throughout your generation. You know, we're not, it's because we're in our captivity. Doesn't mean we don't need to do that no more. We'll catch up when we get in the wilderness. That's not what the Most High had planned.
That's right. So I will be going into, some people are doing it Monday. I will be going into Feast of Atonement Thursday sundown till Friday sundown, where I will be afflicting my soul as the Bible has stated we should do. We are in the holy days. We're fasting and we're preparing for tabernacles. And we don't know what's going to happen in this hour because we are in the 400th year of our final captivity, 400 years as being slaves. And the prophecy is soon to be fulfilled. And we need to do all we can to maintain our holiness and sanctification in this hour and not negate these commandments. Come hell or hot water, brothers and sisters, you got to stay. Let's see what you're really made of. Let's see if you got the testicular fortitude to not, you know, be moved. But nevertheless, we're going to be atoning. This is a port of Torah and law. And since the Most High gave this to Moses, saying that these are my holy days and feasts, you cannot find anywhere in your so-called New Testament. And I say so-called because if you read Jeremiah 31:31, you'd really understand that there is no new covenant as of yet. But if you really understood what was going on and what he said, you'll see that they kept the holy days, Christ going to the Feast of Dedication and Tabernacles all during his time. And you say you want to be like Jesus. Well, I guess you are being like Jesus, Caesar Borgia, because Yeshua, he kept the holy days, Passover, the whole nine, because this is what the Father instructed. Amen. You can't find one scripture in the New Testament that says all that got canceled. All of Leviticus 23 is all gone. You're ridiculous if you believe that, because you're not understanding the compilation of the scrolls that was put together by the Council of Nicaea, the Council of Trent, and before that, Marcion in 186 AD, tampering with the scriptures, the books, the Bibles, and giving you what they want you to have and trying to tell you what's Kodesh. And they're not even his people called by his name. They're converts, Gentiles. Trying to tell you how this book should be read and what it's all about.
That's right. And when Yeshua was there, we were in captivity when he was keeping those holy days and those feast days.
That's right.
I mean that's all the example you need. You look back and say, well, Yeshua was keeping those, and they were in captivity then. So you know what's different then and now.
Right.
When the master was keeping it.
And he knew that there was going to be these multiple and seven captivities. So he said, look, I'm telling you now, this is what I expect of you. And we've always been a celebratory people, but we just lost our way. And we're trying to restore that order to our people. That's what we're trying to restore and bring this back and bring the understanding back as well. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay, brothers and sisters, so do your best this week. Read Isaiah the 58th chapter. Read Psalms 51. Please read Psalms 51 and read Isaiah 58 during your fast of atonement. So you understand what you're doing and you're purging yourself and getting yourself prepared, because, you know, that's something we would do every year, atone for the sins, the multiple mistakes that we made. We have grace now, but we can partake of this. Don't be like some of the silly people I've known in the past years that just know they've been in multiple sins throughout the year and just fast and say, well, I guess all that's behind me now, and then go pick it all up again. Now, you don't know Christ. You have not been born again. You shouldn't have even got baptized because you're like a dog.
No difference in the difference in the Catholics going into the confessional every Sunday. They're giving confession, thinking they've been given grace, and going
right
back out the next day doing what you was doing before.
Right, Brother D, you're absolutely right. They turned the Day of Atonement into a day of Catholicism where they just go confess to the priest. And some of you Negroes can tell you how to put up and be more sinning than you ever did in the next 5 days and then try to ask for forgiveness for it. Man, you better stop playing with Yah. Don't play with Yah. I'm warning you. He is not someone to be played with. You were going to say?
We definitely don't want to do that. We definitely don't want to play with the Most High.
That's right.
Because he don't know.
Go ahead.
No, I said because he doesn't play.
You know,
the Most High is serious about this word, and we better get serious about this word.
Absolutely. We have no choice but to get serious about this word. We have no choice. All right, so we're going to take a brief break. When we come back, we're going to get into the lesson. And then right after the lesson, we'll get into this herbology, our health and wellness segment, herbology. We're going to break it down for you. We want you to understand how to combat illness in society during this hour where pharmaceutical medicines are ruling the narrative and the atmosphere and taking our people up out of here. And don't wait until you're sick. Now, while you have health, is the time to load yourself up with medicinal herbs. So we're going to talk about some of that after the lesson. But let's take a brief break. This is B, the preacher. I'll be right back.
Okay. While everybody's out doing what they want to do, we're reading scriptures and singing to the Most High. 'Cause we know the law and we keep the Father's holy commandments. So let people say what they want to say. Let them mock you for keeping his day. Yeah, we gonna be ready when Christ returns. They be having church on the wrong day, and they despise everything that we say. Yeah, even when we show them in the holy word.
The fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And we should always honor the Most High and do exactly what He says. And don't let the non-believers convince you that the law is done away with. You just rest and chill with the Most High, 'cause the Father knows who's here. So you tell me.
Shabbat shalom. Welcome back to Blueprint for Life, brought to you by Al Hoyer here on Blog Talk Radio. And this is B, the preacher, Brother B, along with Brother D. Just got through sharing some reading of the law and also discussing the Sabbath, the fourth commandment, as the song was saying, keep it holy, and also discussing the Day of Atonement, which will be coming up this week. The fast, afflict your souls. Come on, one day, the Most High, if you can, I mean, we should fast at least four times a month, tell the truth, for your body, soul, and spirit. That's how, that's what it benefits. But if you're not one to really fast, can you not do one day out of 360-something days? You can't do it? Just one day to afflict your souls. It'll do you good. It'll do you well. I assure you it will. You should give it a try. Fasting puts your soul, your body in subjection, submission to your spirit and flesh, and you let your flesh know that it can't dictate to you and tell you that you need to respond to its every urge and whim. You know, your hunger and your sexual proclivities and everything else, that you put that under control and allow the spirit to influence and dictate the life that you want to live. So we're going to get into this lesson today. Brother D, you still there with me?
I'm still here.
Okay. I tell you what, let's go to 1 Kings 18 and 21. Let me elaborate on something. 1 Kings 18 and 21. The title of this lesson, I have a title and a subtitle. The initial title is this: Who You Follow? And some people probably saw that and it elicited 1,000 different ideas in your head, like whose side you on, where you going. But when we get into scripture, you're going to better understand why it's who you're following. And the subtitle is, What Did I Say? And who I was referencing was the Most High Yah. When he gives you a commandment, he speaks once. He told his prophets on many occasions, Samuel, Abraham, go to a land that I prepared for you. He didn't tell them and give them exact instructions. He told Samuel to go to Jesse's house. There's a king there. You're going to anoint him. He didn't tell him which one it was or nothing. When he speaks, he says, like, what did I say? Just obey me. I will reveal the rest as you begin to walk in that direction. That's the important thing. Now let's get back to the initial title, Who You Following? Let's read 1 Kings 18 and 21.
Okay, 1 Kings 18 and 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long have ye between two opinions? If the Most High be Yah, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not one word.
This is the typical response of a person that you put on blast and say, look, let's just settle this right now, because somebody's wrong. Somebody's hearing from Satan and somebody's hearing from God. But the fact of the matter is, Brother D, is everybody want to say they heard from God, but you might be hearing from the wrong God. How do you know that, Brother D? Well, 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, lets you know that there are many gods in this world that are confusing and blinding people's minds. It says, whom the gods of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. It makes it clear. The gods of this world will blind you and cause you to believe you're on the right track and that you're hearing from the Most High, omnipotent God, but you're hearing from Satan, the god of this world, and you're being misled. And a good way to know that there's a problem, because there should not be two opinions. And if there are, somebody's being misled, because there's another scripture where God says, I am not the author of confusion. He does not even come in the office of confusion. When he speaks, everybody's on one accord. They get it. And whether they like it or not, they know it's the right thing to do. Because when Yah speaks, he makes sure everybody gets it and it's going to fulfill his will in the earth, whether you want to or not. But when you have this confusion, like Brother D read, Elijah, the prophet, came and said, how long y'all going to sit up here and be vacillating, going back and forth on two opinions? If you know you heard from Yah, follow him. If you heard from Baal, go follow him. And you know that's when everybody got quiet, because then they probably just jerked him and they said, okay, he's right. One of us is off. One of us is wrong. And this is why, before I shut up on this topic, this is why I tell people all the time, I have a problem with this with somebody close to me. Stop letting people speak into your life and you don't know where the hell they've been, what they just got through touching, doing, snorting, sniffing, drinking, or whatever, and they want to give you their opinion, which is why Psalms, the first chapter, says, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sit in the seat of scorners. You can't go have a glass of wine and drink with somebody who's got an ulterior motive, want to get close to you, I want to mislead you. I want you miserable just like they miserable. And women are good for that too, because misery loves company. The single woman telling the married woman, girl, just leave him. The single man telling the married man, you don't need to be with her. The same thing. It's like bad counsel. And this is how Baal speaks. One more scripture, Brother D, if you want to add something while I'm trying to
before we go there, like you said, there are many gods out there, and they're all out there for the purpose of confusion. I was last week. I was a brother was had listened to some. She was a woman talking about. Well, she was giving David some Hotep name, and saying that's who he actually was. And then one guy said that, you know, I'm confused, and I wrote back saying that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to confuse you. So we need to look at what's in this book. I mean, that was the point. They wanted to confuse them because there are a lot of these other gods out there, these other preachers out there, whatever. They're confusing the elect. They're purposely doing that. They want to take you away from them.
And you know what? This is my biggest thing, that what you just said, people don't realize that there are pastors, preachers, Christians alike, that you will show them truth, and they will say, well, what about this? And it's a method of deflection to cause confusion in you, hoping you don't have the answer, and they will deflect from your statement and throw something way out of right field in order to bring a spirit of confusion into the conversation, which is why you have to keep people on point, on track, when you're having a discussion about a particular topic, because deflection is a major tool used by a lot of people who like to gaslight you and make you think you're crazy or you don't know what you know. And you have to watch out for deflection, because gaslighting, deflection, all of these are major components of confusion, which is a kin and a cousin to lying. And Satan is the father of all those things. All that comes from him. And you have to watch out for that. So not in the council of unsaved people. And when I say unsaved people, I don't mean like the Christian church. So let me stop using that. Walk not in the council of the people that don't keep the laws, statutes, and commandments. Don't even walk in that council with those people. They're blind and don't know the truth. They're worshiping a sun god, and they not living any kind of way. They just talking about, I got grace to do whatever I want.
Hallelujah. That's exactly what it is. Now, where did you want me to go next?
Let's do 1 Corinthians 15:58.
1 Corinthians 15, verse 58.
Yes.
Okay. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Most High. For as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Most High.
If I were to elaborate on the subtitle of what did I say, this is the main component that Paul's echoing in Corinthians. Don't be steadfast. Hold on to what I told you. Be unmovable. Have faith in what I've given you. Peace, grace, the Holy Spirit. And number three, keep doing the work. Always abounding in the work. Going up further to the next level. Don't stop doing the work. What did I say? For as much as you know that your labor, it will not be in vain. Why stop? It will never be in vain. So never give up, brethren. Stand fast. After you've done all you can to stand, stand anyway. Unmovable. You're going to get hit hard. But can you hold your ground? They got that law called stand your ground, where everybody pulling out guns and popping people, standing their ground. But in the spirit, you can stand your ground. And don't let the demons, because I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, demons will. I had the demon come, and mom just got out of the hospital with a major stroke, was in ICU. Had a cousin that had a double heart attack. He's still in ICU in a coma. Had a person near and dear to me just get slapped upside the head and leave because mentally thought this was the thing to do. Satan will come and try to tear up your home. The reality of Job's life is real. But do you have the spiritual disposition test of fortitude for your relationship to be based on your relationship with him and not anything external or any person. Let's be clear. Be steadfast, unmovable, and keep going. Always abounding in the work, because nothing you're doing will be in vain, for Yeshua will repay you dearly. If the Most High told you to start a business, go to a camp, build a ministry, be on the radio, call the brothers, call the sisters, do the work. He's not going to keep repeating it to you. If he showed you how to get wealth, if he showed you how to bless somebody, and you haven't done it yet, you are a procrastinator. That is called the sin of omission and commission. Omission is putting it off. That is a sin. Okay? Do what he did and what he told you to do. He only speaks once, like he did to the prophets. Just go do what you're supposed to do and never stop doing it. Yes, sir, Brother D. Yes, sir.
Yeah, you have to be steadfast, because they're never going to stop. There's going to be a number of not only people and situations that can shake your faith if you're not ready to stand fast and hold on to the Most High and Yeshua, knowing that they're going to get you through this. I mean, because, like I said, there's always going to be something coming around. You just got to sit there and weather that storm and know that the Most High has got your back.
Weather every storm, because all things work together for the good of them that love him. And if you love him, you keep his commandments. All things work together. And he knew everything that was going to transpire in your life before it happened. So you can't control your life, but you can control the how you respond and react to the things that come in and at your life. Your response has to be one of worship, praise, commitment, dedication. It has to be one that says, I'm steadfast. I'm unmovable.
That's right.
I'm always abounding in the work of the Lord. I'm going to keep on being a voice that cried out in the wilderness, a trumpet, and I'm going to keep time. The conversation and the rhetoric on the left and right, it's never going to cease. It's never going to continue. It's never going to stop. What's that, Ecclesiastes 12, where he says, to the writing of books and learning, there comes no end. But this one thing, fear God and keep his commandments, is what Solomon said. That's what we're supposed to do.
And if there's one thing that Hashatan knows about me, is that, you know, he's not going to be able to sway me to any other religion. I mean, it's been brought in front of me a couple times. But, you know, he's got to know that that's something that's not going to work on me.
That's right.
I remember there was one time this guy, I'm just walking through the mall, and, you know, he's at one of those kiosks selling something, but he calls me over. He starts talking to me about Islam and the fact that the comforter that Yeshua was talking about was actually the Quran. And, I mean, this guy's out of the blue. You know, he's called me over there, and then I'm telling him, you know, that's not my thinking. I said, you know, I don't go. And then finally he gave up because he knows he wasn't going to be able to sway me.
You know, it's been a proven fact. We're not going to get into that today. It's amazing he got into that. But the Quran would not even be able to stand had it not been for the word, because we know Muhammad came 600 years after Christ. And they can't even prove their stuff without the King James Bible. So they need to stop that fallacy.
Exactly.
I wish our people understood that the Arabics and Islam had us in captivity as well, and they participated in the slave trade. So wake up, people. Stop being a part of a slave mentality as far as your relationship with the Most High Yah that David spoke of in Psalm 68:4. Yah be extolled and praised. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So yeah, that's all I really wanted to share today, brothers and sisters, with the lesson is, who are you following? Are you following Yah's voice or Satan's voice? And how do I test that, Brother B? Well, when Yah speaks to you, something inside you in your flesh ain't really going to want to do it. But something in your spirit is going to let you know that there's a precept, a scripture that lines up with what he's saying, because he already spoke it. Satan brings confusion, and you won't find a scripture, even though he knows the scripture, but you'll probably find something somebody said or sang, our old country slogan that validates it. You see, when what's-her-name did this, what happened for her? Or when he did this, what happened to him? Satan brings that kind of confusion of deflection, gaslighting, lies, false information. There's false information on the internet. There's fake news. He'll bring all these things to substantiate his false voice that's trying to take you in the wrong direction, which will cause you to be destroyed. So listen to me, brothers and sisters. He said, in all thy ways acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. So don't even make a move until you prayed about it. If you're moving emotionally, if you're moving quickly, and sometimes people confuse emotions for when people have had enough. And it's not emotions. There comes a time when Yah is saying, how long do I have to talk to you and show you the direction I want you to go? You are prolonging the process and prolonging your pain through your disobedience because you're trying to fix something that only I can fix. So we have to understand the voice of Yah and remove ourselves and remove our hands. And I put up a powerful post on Instagram, and it said that we have to learn how to care about people without taking on their problems because they're not ours. Yes, sir.
That's right.
All right. Well, with that being said, brothers and sisters, I want you to know that you keep on following the voice of Yah. Know that he is your leader. Stay away from the voice of Baal and the voice of confusion. You don't want to get caught up in any style of confusion out there in the world. The world is all about this confusion out there. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to take a real brief break and get into this herbology for a minute because I'm still dealing with atonement, the Day of Atonement. I want you to be prepared to afflict your souls, whether you're doing it Monday, some are doing it Wednesday. I'm doing it Thursday, sundown till Friday, but it is that season. And there's going to be a lot of things taking place. I think you should prepare yourself. So when I come right back, just a quick minute break, we're going to talk about preparing your body for the fast. Right, welcome back to Blueprint for Life. This is Brother Z along with Brother D. And yes, only Christ can break the cycles because you got to identify the triggers, even if that trigger is a person. But the Most High will break the cycle. You come into the Blueprint for Life, which is statutes, laws, and commandments. Hope you've enjoyed the lesson. If you're just tuning in, we already did the reading of the law and went through the lesson and had a chance to talk about the Day of Atonement, which is coming up. So this being the time where we do the herbology segment, which is to help you to better stand health and herbs so that you can come up off the pharmacia, do some things for your body that will be of a blessing and of a help to you. Since we're going into atonement, a lot of people aren't physically prepared to atone. So I'm going to deal with some herbs that will help you to stop craving and herbs that will help you to curb your appetite and trim some weight. So listen closely to these herbs. Okay. So for to stop cravings, well, give me 1 second. Let me take a break.
So glad to be here in this lovely paradise. I just want to serve him with all heart, soul, and might. Every day I'll praise him in my eternal life. Looked up at the sun and said, ooh, sweet light of mine. I love to see you. You always seem to make things right. Love to see you rise. Beautiful scene when you go.
Okay, so craving, to stop cravings. Listen to me. I hope you got a pen and paper. These herbs that you can buy this week, and they'll help you with craving so that you'll be prepared for atonement. You should get onto this week. Calamus root is one. Lobelia is the second herb. This next one is really good. You should always keep some of this. It'll help you at night when you can't sleep. Valerian root. Here's another good herb that we've discussed in the past, which is mistletoe. If you look up, mistletoe is not just that pagan holiday Christmas. Mistletoe has some healing components to it. So if you go on the internet, you'll be able to see some of the things it can help you with. Skullcap, hops, that's what they make beer with, kava kava, and passion flower. Now, these help to move through the withdrawal symptoms from addictions also. So when it says craving stop, this can also help with cravings of drug, alcohol, smoking, and certain foods. Now let's do curb the appetite and trim weight. This is a totally different one. To help you curb your appetite and trim some weight. This would be good to start this week so that if you're going to do atonement on Thursday, go from Thursday to Friday, you'll be ready. Eat light meals through the week. Don't eat heavy because it'll be rougher for you to get through because your stomach will have gotten used to heavy meals and digesting and things like that. You want to start preparing yourself as of today, if not Monday. To curb your appetite and trim your weight, number one, kelp, K-E-L-P. Second herb is alfalfa. Third one is bladder rack. Bladder rack is really good. Bladder rack is also good for your thyroid and to help fight against radiation in the air. We're going to need a lot more of that going forward. Next, licorice root. Not licorice candy, the root. The other one is cleavers. Next one is dandelion. The next one is a Chinese herb called Ma Wang, M-A-H-U-A-N-G. Now, here's another good one. This is for pain. This is where they make aspirin from this herb. It's called white willow bark. You can find all these in your health and herb store, holistic store, where they have them in bulk. Find out where they sell them in bulk. Not GNC. Go to these places where they sell in bulk and you can scoop it out and make your own formula and put this all together in one thing and shake it up. This formula will increase your metabolism, your energy. It's good for gland support, thermogenic fat burning, plus high nutrition. It's easy, safe way to lose weight. So I hope you got all that. Yes, sir.
Yes, you don't have to tell me how to spell kelp. I know that. You give me those first three, calamus,
Adelia and Valerian, you need to spell those out.
Okay. That's back at Craving Stop. Calamus starts with a C.
Yeah.
C as in Charlie, A-L-A-M-U-S, root.
Okay.
And then the next one, Lobelia, is L-O-B-E-L-I-A.
I had that pretty much right, but I added an extra L in it, so now I got the right spelling.
Okay, the next one is Valerian, is B as in Victor, A-L-E-R-I-A-N.
Okay. Got it.
All right. So that's the herbology segment. That's everything for today. And hope you can incorporate this into your diet this week so that by the time you get to atonement on Friday, you'll be ready to roll right through that, maybe a couple of more days. And as I said, fasting is very good for you. So get into Psalms 51 and Isaiah 58, and we'll see where it goes from there. All right, Brother G, you got any final comments you want to say?
Well, before you're counting from you're counting the days. How many weeks was that? You're counting the days to get to the to Day of Atonement, because I know some people have October 8th as the start of atonement. You're starting this Thursday?
Yes, I'm doing it Thursday. I know some people are doing it the 8th because you're counting. Some people actually count that month of March as being one, not April as being one. April's the second month. So it would be March, April, May, June, July, August, September, and this being the 7th month and this being the 10th day because it starts midweek. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand. There's a certain number of days.
Right.
That you're counting to when the Day of Atonement is supposed to be.
Right. And Leviticus 23 breaks that down. Breaks it all the way down. So you know how you would say March is the new year, and then you go to the April, mid-April, and you say, okay, that's one, that's two. No. As soon as you hit, that's one. As soon as you hit March, that's one. By the time you get to mid-April, that's two. That would lead you to the 7th month being here in September. But I'm not letting nobody judge us in our feast days. It's all good. So
yeah, Chris.
just keep it. Keep it. Just keep it because it's a sign between us.
Exactly. Just keep it because, as long as you're doing it, as long as you're showing the Most High that you direct, you go back to Colossians 2 and 16, you judge no man on the feast days.
That's right. That's right. All right, brother. Well, I appreciate you being on here with us today and sharing and chopping up this word. And like you said, abounding towards the work of the Lord, keeping it going, keeping this work going.
Thank you for having me. And like you said, be steadfast.
Absolutely. All right. Shabbat shalom, brother. And to the brothers and sisters, the only for sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it, because truth is a journey and not a destination. Y'all keep the faith, man, and don't give up no matter what you do. You pray for me, and I'm definitely be praying for you.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
We're gonna tear your kingdom down. Oh, Lord. Say, Lord, we're gonna tear your kingdom down. Oh, yes, you've been a pillar your kingdom. Oh, Lord,
all over Israel.
That's all right. I'm gonna preach your kingdom down. You better watch out now, Satan. Oh, the preacher,
I'm gonna preach your kingdom down.
You better watch out now. Straight up.